the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, it is time for the last word on music, and I'm joined, as always, by John Cadell and Dee Reddy. Now, John, we're starting with sad news. The sad news of Moya Brennan. We woke to the news of her sad passing this morning.
Yes, and I heard it was one of the chaps from the breakfast show, from Ian's show, texted me, and I was like, okay, what's happened to Moya Brennan? And then I also went on Twitter and saw she'd passed away, and I think a lot of people didn't even know that she was ill. But very, very sad. She was only 73, and immediately what you think of is The Voice.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's difficult to say this without sounding pretentious, but her voice was very much just... It wasn't like to put forward lyrics as such. It was another instrument in the band. You know, a lot of Clannad, certainly the most famous songs, the ones that I'd be aware of, because I'm not a deep Clannad fan. I just have never had the time. But the songs that I do know are, you know, they're not very lyrically dense. And she seems...
Or if they are, it's lyrics you might understand, you know, understand. Like, I think that's why people refer to her voice as ethereal.
Ethereal is the word.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. Because, as you say, it is like a musical instrument in how she sings.
Like, I'm thinking of, like, Robin the Hooded Man. I don't know if people remember. It was the theme for a show called Robin.
I've heard it on the piano in the last 6 months.
And a fabulous song. And again, the only lyrics in it are the title.
Yeah.
And Harry's Game, of course, theme from Harry's Game, which brought them to massive success.
We actually have a clip of that, so we'll take a quick clip of that. Album sold worldwide.
Wow.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think, you know, we forget nowadays when Clannad came along, they formed in the early 70s. She comes from a family of 9 children, and it was, predominantly the kids that made up Clannad. And like, they really put Irish music, I think, on the map internationally in a way that we hadn't seen before, because they had a remarkable way of blending contemporary influences like the Beach Boys, like the Beatles, the Mamas and the Papas, particularly to my ear, with traditional Irish form, not even just genres, but like forms of music. As you say, even her style of singing and everything was quite unique. And to actually take these really important and rich to our cultural heritage elements and actually be able to blend them with the modern world in a way that captured people's imagination.
And they sound like Ireland.
They do. Yeah. And like, you know, when you're listening to that, you kind of have to think, God, the likes of Riverdance or something like that would never have happened had it not been for Clannad.
Like, if you listen to the beginning of Riverdance, the Inúna.
Absolutely.
It's Clannad writ large, really, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, that is quite an extraordinary legacy to leave with the world.
But interesting to say, the way that the family's voices blended together, they say if there are siblings singing together, it's actually richer and more affecting than non-blood relations.
Yeah. And her two uncles, Noel and I can't remember, but the Duggan brothers, they were twin brothers. And I know because Noel Duggan was a friend of my dad and he sang at my dad's funeral.
Wow.
So I have that connection. But that family element was really critical. I remember Noel saying it to my dad, like that element of being together, that whole, they almost took the world on as a family.
Yes,
it was them against the world, really.
Like. Yeah.
But it's a lovely kind of representation, I think, of how music plays out in families across Ireland. Mm. And like, even that sort of making no distinction between modern contemporary stuff and trad stuff, and everybody just sharing what they like and what their influences are, is it's a lovely reflection of how Irish family life works in that relation.
Yeah.
and some very nice tributes from the president to ministers to Bono himself. Mm. And they had that very famous collaboration
in a lifetime
in 1986.
That's right.
And it was at a time, I suppose, for U2, they were just on the cusp of kind of world.
Yeah, they'd done the Unforgettable Fire. Yeah. They were in the recording sessions for the Joshua Tree. And I mean, what a song that In a Lifetime is.
It really stands up today, yeah, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, they sound like Moir Brennan and Bono just sound so completely different that you can't take your ear off either vocal because they're complementary. But he's like sort of, he's like sawdust. He's sharp and sawdust. And she's, you know, just this sort of beautiful lilting.
And almost it's that juxtaposition that makes them each sound better and more unique.
Yeah. Now, she did, obviously, she was suffering from pulmonary fibrosis in recent years, which obviously impacted her lung capacity. But, you know, taking it at 73 is a very all too young.
Well, too young.
May she rest in peace. Let's move on. The Strokes are coming back on tour and they're going to play their first Irish show in more than 20 years.
Yeah, that's very exciting news. So the New York band, I suppose their hits that they'd be known for, people would probably remember Last Night and Hard to Explain. They played Coachella last weekend.
Were they any good?
I haven't actually seen the set, so I'm not sure now. And they've released Going Shopping, the first single from their new album. So they're obviously back with a bang, as many artists from that era are.
The thing about it is, the thing about people who love the Strokes is they're just wishing that the next album will be as good as the debut. It's like the Killer syndrome. They've
sure
never
you could say
better
that about
debut.
so many bands, though.
Yeah.
Could you not?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I mean, but... You know,
they promised so much when they first came out.
Yeah, I mean, they were so exciting when they came out. Now, D, you would have been only about two, I think, but like when the Strokes came out, they were...
No, I remember being on my day one and borrowing Pal's mini disc.
It was like the
mini disc, my God.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I've aged myself. There we go.
Strokes and the White Stripes did usher in a new era of guitar-based alternative rock. But to me, and I've followed them since, I'm not a massive fan, but I've followed everything they've done and nothing they... have done, and they probably know it, has had the impact of the debut.
Yeah, you know, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Now, another band that probably peaked in around that same time was Oasis.
No.
Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, John. Not a fan.
It's a tough one for John because regular listeners to the segment will know just how deeply he hates the whole concept of the Rock
of
and
Oasis?
Roll. Of
Oasis?
No, of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm. So how are we feeling today?
Well, Liam on Twitter was telling everybody not to vote for them. Then this morning when news came through that they had made the cut, he sent a tweet that a lot of people think is being very gracious. But he says, I want to thank all the people who voted for us. It's a real honour. Ever since I was a little kid and singing in the shower, I dream about one day being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's true what they say. Anything is possible if you have a dream. He's being sarcastic. He has no interest.
But to be fair, when a fan asked him, would you go?
He goes,
obviously I would.
I'd go and say it's the best thing ever. But no, he probably dislikes it as much as me. I can't imagine somebody who is the walking embodiment of rock and roll, the way Liam is, has any truck with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Because they were very snooty about the Brits as well for a long time, weren't they?
But they always went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is sort of like, you have now been anointed as influential by all these
there
old
is that. But I think
buggers.
What is more special about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
is not
the kind of high concept honour being bestowed on you. It is the gig that happens when someone is inducted and you have like artists, other artists who are your peers or potentially even heroes of yours performing your music with you.
Yeah,
there's some phenomenal performances
from that over the
years.
That's the least worst part of it. But the fact that you have to put up with all the other crap to get to that is the problem.
Well, it's a good excuse for us to listen to a little bit of Oasis, which I think is always welcome. We have a clip of Acquiesce. I think we'll play a few seconds of that.
Sound.
I
Now, what's interesting about this is those who made the list and those who didn't. Those, now, John, bear with me now, let me get through this.
Sorry.
So those who made the list were Phil Collins, Billy Idol, Iron Maiden, Joy Division stroke New Order, Luther Vandross and the Wu-Tang Clan. Those who didn't make the list were New Edition, Mariah Carey, Miss Lauryn Hill, who insists on being called Miss Lauryn Hill, INXS, Pink, Jeff Buckley and the Black Rose and Shakira. So like... Is there? Will they come next year?
But like, what's well, the base
yeah, because I think Phil Collins has been kind of a potential, and so as well as New Order and Joy Division, that they're kind of being inducted as one, which is going to lead to a few raised eyebrows. I think.
I'm sorry, but it's just utter shit.
Well, look, one of my favorite things to watch on YouTube is George Harrison's induction, and when Prince manages to really, really annoy the other people performing with him by completely taking over, and it's like Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Danny Harrison, and Prince comes out at the end. And
that was fabulous.
It was. That's what I'm saying. That's the stuff that makes it worthwhile. Or Dolly Parton's induction, where actually Pink is on stage with her, and no one can reach the notes that she's reaching.
And like I do remember when U2 got inducted and Bruce Springsteen gave, I thought, an extraordinary oration. He elevated U2 to a level I think they probably, in terms of
but
the word...
But they shouldn't be encouraging this. None of them should be encouraging this.
But like, should they not be recognised?
By who? Who is like deciding...
The arbiters.
But who's deciding what music is influential, what music deserves to be put in a museum? Surely the whole thing about music is it either makes you feel a certain way or it doesn't. So it's not up to a committee of people to decide what music is worthwhile of being set in stone and what music isn't. And if you have a list where Joy Division are in and Jeff Buckley is out, like what sort of sense does that even make?
Well, Jeff Buckley's the one that sticks out for me.
Yeah.
Sort of
well, not even, but like Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill as well. Lauryn Hill, I mean, like her
is out, but Oasis are in. Like, how can you quantify any of this? And that's why it's such a load of old...
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't know what do I need to apologise at 10 to 7 for the profanity, but anyway, there you go. Yeah. We're moving on to slightly more serious news, and this word that Britney Spears is back in rehab, and this is, like, she's had a very tough journey, and I remember, you might not remember, but it was a time when she had her first wave of trouble, and Craig Ferguson, who was the host of the Late Late Show, who himself had gone through alcoholism and drug addiction, made a very powerful, he did his monologue at the start of the show saying, lay off her, she's a kid, she doesn't know what she's doing. Yeah. And 20 years later, she's in fresh trouble. It's kind of sad, isn't
it? I mean, look, she's entered a rehab facility. She was arrested in March for driving under the influence, and she's now, I believe, by her own volition, entered a rehab facility to get treatment. And I just think, you know, you're so right about what you're saying there, about everything that she's gone through. It almost to me seems inevitable that she would still be suffering, because what happened to her under that conservatorship, you know, the full horror of that, I think, hasn't landed with a lot of people or hasn't come out. So I think, look, her space.
I'm glad.
And the fact that she is actually taking it upon herself to go and seek help, I see that as a positive thing, and can only wish her the very, very best.
It's the best news we've heard about Britney Spears in months, that she is actually in rehab, because like anybody who knows the backstory would just wish her health and happiness.
Yeah, it's sad because, like you say, I mean, there's probably the controlling elements with her own family and her father in the conservatorship, but then you probably had pressures from record companies and labels and all the rest of it. And, you know, there's so many stories of people getting chewed up and spat out by the record industry or by the music industry. But when you see it in real time and you see someone in real crisis, it's a tough watch. It's tough to see.
It really is. And, you know, I kind of, even stuff with kind of being caught under the, like with the DUI, like it's almost like a throwback. Like you rarely hear those stories anymore. It's like almost like a throwback to when things started to, where she began to lose control of her own life because it was taken from her. So I mean, it's an incredibly sad story.
Justin Bieber's highly anticipated Coachella set has been labelled a snore fest by disappointed fans.
Well, I would say the production value on this now wasn't where you might expect it to be for Coachella. he was kind of trying, I think, to harmonize at one point with old videos of himself from YouTube. He was like playing stuff from earlier in his career on YouTube itself. Somebody posted on social media, it might have even been Katy Perry, but saying, you know, thank God he has YouTube Premium so we don't have to watch the ads in between. So I think that tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. But by comparison to Sabrina Carpenter, who had been the headliner for the previous night and who always puts on an absolutely proper show. Yeah.
Yeah, it just smacked a bit of this'll do.
Yeah. There is a wider, because we've seen it, say, with other artists, you know, relying on, like Paul McCartney has played clips or you have John Lennon and played together. Obviously, the Freddie Mercury, you're being used by Queen to kind of, and I'm slightly uncomfortable with the idea of going to a gig and watching a screen, albeit playing live. I know you're kind of, there's a nostalgia element to it or whatever, but it does kind of go against the whole idea of a live show.
It does, but I would also argue that like there's a big, huge difference between having something that has been edited and produced and practiced alongside to be part of
a show,
a big stage production versus YouTube.
And that's the thing. I mean, like concerts aren't just music anymore. They are a show. They're a visual.
Like, especially on a stage like that.
Yeah. Because obviously we've seen artists, say, even like Roger Waters with a very elaborate kind of, you know, and there's a lot of criticism of him. Is he using backing tracks? Given his voice, is he miming essentially? So it does raise this wider conversation around
Michael Jackson in his live concerts. He only ever sang live about half of the time during the gig because he was so like, dancing and spinning and doing this, that, and the other that like he didn't have the, you know, he couldn't do all that stuff at once. Yeah.
John, your pick of the week, A-ha, Analog.
Yeah, I don't think we're probably going to get any new music from A-ha anymore, given that poor old Morton isn't well. But this is the reissue, two CD reissue of their 2005 album, Analog. And it's the last one that gave them a top 10 hit single. And I couldn't get this song out of my head for about a month when it first came out. And then when I was sending it on today to the show team, it's been in my head ever since. It's the lead single, Analog, All I Want.
Let's take a listen. That's well worth a listen, John. Yeah. That's a good shout. Dee, your pick of the week
is from Stephen Sorensen, aka Stephen Starr. My interest was piqued about this when I saw 909 describe it as reflective and intimate Elliott Smith style indie folk. So obviously I had to have a listen. He has just released an album since last Friday. It is called Newt. And this is one of the tracks from it, Pit.
Let's take a listen. It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. The whole thing is well worth a listen. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Now, we've about 60 seconds left. Dolly Parton has topped the list of global figures in a US favourability poll. John, I'd say this is another one you're going to have to...
Yeah, this appears to be like the Being Sound Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is what it
They've asked a bunch of Americans about famous people and how sound they are. And Dolly has won, full stop.
Ironically, though, I think if you ask
people... But she is great, though.
She's deadly.
But like, this is Americans picking global figures. I think if you ask people globally to pick American figures, Dolly Parton would probably still top the list. So that's something.
Because in fairness, you even see it here in Ireland, you know, the donation to libraries and all that kind of stuff. I mean, she has made a much bigger impact than just her music.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one all the same, because you kind of think with these things, as you say, are they objective or are they not?
What are they for?
Yeah. And it's such a small, I mean, it's 1,000 people.
And everybody knows Dolly's sound. Everybody loves Dolly Parton, don't they?
They do.
Ah, yeah. Well, there's a whole podcast about it, Dolly Parton's America, about how she manages to unite people.
Yeah. I could have saved them a hell of a lot of money on this book. Yeah. Right, Dolly will win.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately, but my thanks to John Cadell and Dee Reddy, as always.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.